Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes. We are holding on Daf Kuf Ches and Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, just before the end of the page, four lines from the end of the page, on Kuf Ches and Beis. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, Anonymous Wife and Children, Anonymously Lil Nishmas Rabbi Kelmer Zetzal, by Maisha and Devora Smith for Refuah Shleimah for their daughter, Tova Miriam Bas, Devora Mindel, in memory of Avi Weiss, Avram Yaakov ben Meshulam Dov, Olav HaSholem, who recently passed away, by his friends of the BMT class of 1990. By Judy and Mark Frankel and family, Li'ili Nishmas, their dear son and brother, Moshe Yehuda ben Meir Eliyahu, Zichrona Levracha, by Matthew Ostreicher to commemorate the Shloshim of his father, Milton Ostreicher, Menachem Avram ben Moshe Binyamin, Alav Hashalom, and Hashem Hashem and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors. Oh, and by our shul, which starting tonight is beginning the series of events for the Chanukas Habayis weekend with the Challah Bake tonight, Be'ezra Hashem, and everyone's encouraged to watch the live stream at charity.com/BKNW and help us reach our goal. Okay, so we are holding, we're going to discuss today is the inyan of Simchas Yom Tov primarily. We're going to talk about how to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, and then we're going to talk about, once we're talking about Simchas Yom Tov, that's fulfilled with with drinking Yayin Bizman Hazeh, so we're going to talk about how to measure exactly a revius of Yayin, what the exact measurement is and how to best find that measurement. The Gemara is then at the end of the daf going to raise questions about how the Rabbanan could ever institute a takana to drink Dalet Kosos if in general we try away to stay away from zugos, from pairs of things, because that's considered to be a sakana. And the Gemara is going to have three answers to that question as to why it is that apparently we're not concerned with zugos when it comes to the takana of Dalet Kosos. So says the Gemara now, four lines from the bottom of the page, Tanu Rabbanan. Hakol chayav in barbe kol salalu echra nashim becha nashim becha tinokos. The Tanakhama says everybody's chayav in the dalet kosos, men, women, and children. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'chimat velas yeshul tinokos b'yayin. What value is there to give yayin to tinokos? So the way the Rashbam understands, they're pata for mitzvos. What do you mean children are chayav in dalet kosos? Children are not chayav in anything. So Rabbeinu David says, you know, it's a good to taina. What's the Tanakhama going to say? How's it shaykh to say katana or chayiv in anything? Yeah, they also were nigal, but women are benos chiyuva, so you can include them in a chiyuv with afenoi bosanes. Children are not chayiv in anything. So Rabbeinu David says, no, the Tanakam is mechayiv ketanim midin chinuch. That's what it means, ketanim or chayiv. What exactly does that mean, that there's a chiyuv of chinuch? So machlokas rishonim throughout Shas, Rashi, and Tosos, whether a chiyuv of chinuch means that the father has a chiyuv, or that midirabanan, the child, becomes like a mitzvah v'yosa, even though he's really in eno mitzvah. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Rabbi Yehuda's tying it back is, yeah, I understand there's such a concept of chinuch, but the concept of chinuch is something that the child can relate to. But you're going to be mechanichim with yayin. Yayin doesn't give him any sense of simcha, so he's not going to be able to even relate to that mitzvah. And that's how the Ran says, like Rabbeinu David also, that that's really the issue. That of course there's not going to be a real chiyuv for children, but midin chinuch, maybe there should be a chiyuv. And the question is, what exactly the parameters are of the mitzvah of chinuch? It could be that they're arguing, if you have a situation where there's a particular behavior that when the child gets older, he's going to become mechuyavin, but right now that behavior is meaningless to him. Are we mechanich him in the behavior, even though right now the inyan of that behavior doesn't mean anything to him? Or are we mechanich him only in that which the inyan makes sense to him? So the Tanakhama says, yeah, the behavior of drinking Dalet Kosos is something that's going to matter when he gets older. And that's the Ikar of Chinuch. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Ikar of Chinuch is only when where he is, Ba'asher Hu Sham, he's able to connect to what the mitzvah is about. Ella, so rather, what do you do, says Rabbi Yehuda, if you're not going to give them wine, Mechalkelan Klayos Ve'agozim Be'erev Pesach. You give them Klayos and Agozim on Erev Pesach, which is the Talmudic version of candy. Erev Pesach. But whenever we say Erev Pesach, so, or Erev Shabbos, very often in the Gemara, it does not mean the day before. It means the night of. So early in the evening of, you give them some candy. Kedei shal yishnu v'yishalu. In order that by receiving the candy early on in the evening, they're not going to fall asleep and they'll be able to ask. And the assumption is, they'll be able to ask the Manishtana. Rabbeinu Manoach writes in Ilchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, that since in general, you only give them dessert after the Suda, Yehuda. They have to finish their broccoli, and once they finish their broccoli, that's when they're going to get their candy. They don't get their candy in advance, so that's going to be unusual to them, so they're going to ask about it. I don't know, most kids probably won't ask any questions. They'll just count their blessings and hope no one notices. But maybe they'll ask about the shinrei, they'll ask about the difference, and based on that, they'll start asking other questions as well. The Meiri writes that not that they're going to ask about getting the candies, but because you're giving them candies, they're not going to sleep, and because they're not going to sleep, they're going to see all the other unusual things we do on the night of the Seder, and they're going to ask about those unusual things, not that they're going to ask about those candies. So that's what we give the children. And Rabbi Akiva used to have this exact practice. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer, chotfin matzos b'leile psachim b'shvil tinoko shlo yishnu. Again, we grab matzos on the night of the Seder, and that too is for the children so that they shouldn't fall asleep. Tanya Amro Lavel Rabbi Akiva miyam of lo amargiye esam besam medrash chus me'av ribsachim erav yom kippurim. That they say about Rabbi Akiva that in his entire life he never said it was time, entire life, presumably from when he started learning Torah. He never said that it's time to leave the Beis HaMedrash. He was such a masmid. He never wanted to leave the Beis HaMedrash early except for Arve Psachim and Erev Yom HaKippurim. So Arve Psachim b'shvil tinokos kadesh lo yishnu, on the nights of the Seder, in order that the children should not fall asleep, and Erev Yom HaKippurim kadesh yachilu espinahim, and Erev Yom Kippur to make sure that the children eat something on Erev Yom Kippur, because it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's what we say a few places in Shas, that anyone is ochel the shosep Erev Yom HaKippurim, it's ki ilu esane chi v'asiri. It's as if the person has fasted on both the 9th and the 10th day of Tishrei. If a person eats on Erev Yom HaKippurim, so the Tosos raises the question. Rashbam and Rashi explain that on Arvei Psachim, it's so that the children will not fall asleep on the night of the Seder. So Tosos says the children can't go to sleep without their father, meaning the children could go to sleep without their father. Meaning the children can't take a nap on Erev Pesach unless their father's home, or does a father need to be home to make sure the children take a nap? So the Rashbam says Bishvil Tinokos means that the fathers shouldn't delay when coming home from shul. Sometimes after shul is over, people stop and they schmooze and that. So don't delay. You have to get home. You have to start the Seder right away. You want to make sure that the children don't fall asleep. Now, what is this idea of chotfin matzos, that they would grab the matzos on the night of the Seder? So I actually once gave a Shabbos HaGadol drasha about this. We'll try to leave all the details out. But basically, there are several shitos what it means. Rashi and the Rashbam write that it means we lift the ka'ara so the kids will ask. The Rashbam says that it might not even mean chotfin matzos, it might mean chotfin mitzvos. The ka'ara is full of the mitzvos halayla, so you pick up all of the mitzvos halayla and let everybody see. In the Chok Yaakov, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, in Tafayin Beis, he understands that it's the same as what the Gemara in Daf Kuf Tazvav says, that they're ochre the Shulchan, so the kids will ask. Chotfin mitzvos, they take away the Shulchan with all the mitzvos on the night of the Seder, so the children will ask. Rashi, in the second Perush, and the Ravid said, no, chotfin means you do it quickly. They eat quickly so the kids won't fall asleep. You don't delay in the eating. That fits with the next sign of the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva leaving the Beis Medrash to make sure the Seder starts in time. You want to make sure to move things along expeditiously, that it shouldn't just schlep and schlep and schlep, and then the kids are going to get very bored. Shulchan Aruch and Tavayin Beis Aleph quotes this la halacha, and he said, and the Sharetzi and Sivkat and Beis over there brings this as the source. So how does eating early help the kids ask the Manashtana? The Manashtana happens way before the eating. So how does that help? That we're going to eat quickly. So what does that have to do with Manashtana? Manashtana is way earlier. So the Mishra Berurah writes that it makes the Seder move. So kids will know that they're not going to be waiting forever. That if they know the Seder is this endless event that they can never make it through, so then they're not going to be interested in Meikara. So they want it to be an exciting event for the children that that won't challenge their attention span too much. Or the Sharetzion writes, based on the Rosh Beitz, that you give the kids something to eat early so that they won't go to sleep. And the Sharetzion also writes that even though Manashtana is early, the real liquor is to ask when the Haseba, Bachilus Matzah, and Tvila, Bemar, all that is actually happening, that you wait till the events of the Manashtana, meaning even though we put it all at the beginning with the Manashtana, the real the questions that they're supposed to ask is when it actually happens. So it does make sense that we say we try to move things along and we eat quickly. A third potential possibility, the Rashbam writes, Chotfin Matzah means you take the food away from the kids, because eating too much much will cause them to fall asleep. Rav Soloveitchik had a fourth possibility that other achronim suggest as well, that normally you always have to wait for the balabayis to take first. The Gemara in Brachos says that it's derech eretz, the balabayis has to eat first. But everybody grabs the matzah, chotfin matzos, everyone should grab their matzah quickly to try to grab before the balabayis, because that's a demonstration of chibuv mitzvah. In the Tshuvas Torah L'shma, in Kuf Lamed Ches, he says that it's a mitzvah, it's a chibuv mitzvah to grab first. A fifth possibility, the Rambam, Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, says that people grab from each other on the night of the Seder. The Chot V'Matzos is that people are taken from each other. Says the Chalk Yaakov, that's the source of the Minog, to steal the Afikoman. The Rambam is describing taking something that somebody else has. And the Maram Chalva says very similarly, the Maram Chalva writes, Gozlim Zemi Yadzeh, L'Simcha, Kadesh Yishla Tinok Zoh Yishanu, meaning you make it a game and it will be this playful thing. So that's Simcha, that people are grabbing from each other. It has certain benefits to it when you make a game out of stealing the Avikoman. You never, in Sefer V'Yagid Moshe, he points out no one's ever going to forget to eat the Avikoman, because your kids will never let you forget, because they're going to want to follow the game through to the end until they get whatever it is that they're interested, whatever prizes they're interested in getting. And in the Be'er Yosef al HaTorah, he has a beautiful mahalich we're not going to get into now, where he says that there's a remez to Yaakov Avinu stealing the brachos, because that happened on Pesach night. That's why Yitzchak needed two goats, Echad the Chagiga ve'Echad the Pesach, and you find many, many allusions to this. Siv Seicham points out that Yitzchak was born on Pesach, so he was worried he might die then, because Tzadikim Ramashim Shoseim, so he was concerned specifically on Pesach, and that's why... And the Sefer Minchas Eliyahu, he says that's why the bracha was for Tal, because Tal is something you daven for on Pesach. In the Menachem Tzion, the Jerusalem of Pesach, says Yaakov opens the door right after Yitzchak ate the Afikoman. The Targum on the Pasuk that Yaakov came b'mirma, Targum says b'chachmasa. So that's what Bar Yosef quotes Achronim, that the chachma that he had was to make sure he feeds Yitzchak the Afikoman, so that when Esav comes later, why don't Yitzchak just have derech eretz, take a bite of Esav's food? You know, Esav came, he did all this work. So instead of this bitter crying, oh, I can't do anything now, just take a bite of his food. No, because he just ate the Afikoman. Ein maftir nachar Pesach Afikoman, that Yaakov just provided him with the Afikoman. So that's what the suggestion the Be'er Yosef has. He says that explains the reyach, the Yitzchak smelled, both Gan Eden and Bogdav. We're not going to get into right now. But the Gras says on Chad Gadi, he says it's a reference to the two goats, that the Chad Gadia is a reference to the goats of Yaakov and Esau. Okay, so now it happens to be that the idea of stealing the Afikoman, a lot of the Achronim are very uncomfortable with that terminology. They don't like to use the term stealing. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Samech Aleph says that even gonev al menas lemekat, even when you steal al menas to give back and to give back kefel, it's still not okay. You're not, even though you're trying to benefit the other person. In the Tshuvas Ar Yitzchak, Chel Beisim Reishir Aleph, he says zilzul mitzvah to grab. It's not nice to do something. Something like that. Also, just practically, a lot of times when children hide things, they try to find the best hiding place, like in the tank in the back of the toilet bowl or something like that. Not appropriate for an Afikoman, even if you brought. It's not appropriate to put an Afikoman in such a place. So you do have such concerns. So that's why in Orchos Rabbeinu reports that Chazanish and the Stipler were opposed to the Minhag. So were the Briskers. So are the Lubavitchers. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Koron Ali Chashlomo, was very against calling it stealing. Call it something else. Call it grabbing the Afikoman, hiding the Afikoman. He was very against calling it stealing the Afikoman, that we should never give the impression that stealing, chas v'shalom, on any level, has any place in Judaism. But anyway, that's the inyan of chotfin matzos b'leili p'sachim. Says Gemara Tan Rabban, chayv adam l'smeach b'na b'nei beso b'regel, that a person has an obligation to be m'sameach his family on Yom Tov. Shneemar v'samachta b'chagecha, pasuk says v'samachta b'chagecha, pasuk continues, that you have to be mesameach, not just you, but also all your children on the night of the Seder. Tulsa says a gears of samachta ata ubeisecha, not atu vincha ubitecha. That's a different pasuk. That's a pasuk that it says by Meister Sheni. So Tos explains that that's the correct girsa, and we're not quoting the pasuk of Samachta b'chagecha that it says by the Moadim, because by Meister Sheni it says b'mfurish beisecha. So we prefer to include beisos uishto, the idea that a person has to be mesameach his whole bayis. So b'me mesamchem, how are you with one mesameach others? B'yayin, you give them a lot of wine to drink. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, anashim b'roil Braylam Benashim Braylam. The same Rabbi Yehuda who said, you're not mechanic children in Dalit Kosos, says it doesn't make sense for Simchas Yom Tov to give wine to everybody in the family. Not everybody in the family enjoys wine. No, men, what makes them happy. Women, what makes them happy. Anashim Braylam B'yayin. Men tend to find Simcha by drinking wine. V'nashim B'mai, what gives women a sense of Simcha? Tain Rav Yosef, Bavel, Bigdei Tzivonim, Beretz Yisrael, V'bigdei Pishtan, Migo Hatzin. That in Bavel, it's Bigdei Tzivonim, in Eretz Yisrael, Bigdei Pishtan, Migo Hatzin. That they would have these white, nice, pressed clothing in Eretz Yisrael. That was the style. That's what people enjoyed wearing in Eretz Yisrael. So the idea of Yayin, I remember last week we had some of the Rabbanim had a question-answer Zoom with Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, and Rav Asher is a very strong proponent of the idea that grape juice is a full fulfillment of Yayin for everything except for Chayiv Inish L'Vesumei B'Puria. But other than Chayiv Inish L'Vesumei B'Puria, where it's clearly L'Vesumei, everything else, for Simchas Yom Tov, for everything else, that grape juice is an absolute fulfillment of for Kiddush, for Avdallah, for everything else. I say Rav Chaim Kanievsky is not so into that. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when people ask him, they're suffering this tzara, that tzara, so he always says, what do you make Avdallah on? And if they say grape juice, that's your problem. You need to make Avdallah on wine and not on grape juice. Rav Asher Weiss is very, so one of the Rabbanim asked, but Simchas Yom Tov, how do you fulfill Simchas Yom Tov with grape juice? He said, Mehechi Tasi Simcha has anything to do with intoxication? Simchas Yom Tov is grape juice. It's a very delicious drink. He said, it never even occurred to me. I can't believe it never occurred to him. He said, it never even occurred to me that Simcha would have anything to do with the alcoholic content of the beverage. Anyway, Tani Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the Iker Mitzvah of Simcha was fulfilled with the Basar of the Korban HaShlamim, the Shalmei Simcha. Shenemar V'Zavachta Shlamim V'Achalto Sham V'Samachta L'Tnei Hashem Elkecha V'Achshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, so the way we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha is with Yayin. Shenemar, Pasuk in Tehillim, V'Yayin Yisamech Levav Enosh. That it's Yayin that gives a person a sense of Simcha. Tosus Nemoid Katan, Daf Yedalid, points out that Simcha Bizman Hazeh, which is not Bebasar Shlamim, is only Midrabbanon. That since the Iker mitzvah of Simcha on the Daraisa level is with Basar Shlamim, when we don't have Basar Shlamim, Simcha is downgraded to a mitzvah Midrabbanon. However, Shagasari and Simon Samachay understands the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Yom Tov to disagree with Tosos, that nowadays the mitzvah of Simcha is still Midaraisa. It's just that when we had Basar Shlamim, that was the way to fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa. Nowadays we fulfill the mitzvah Daraisa in other ways, in secondary ways. The Rambam over there in Hilchos Yom Tov writes that men eat Basar and drink wine because ain't Simcha bebasar ve'ein Simcha ela beyayin. So the Beis Yosef points out in Simcha Tavkuf Chavtes, this is very troubling. That's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara didn't say eat meat and drink wine because ain't simcha el bebasar v'yayin. The Gemara said 2 points in history. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, ain't simcha el bebasar. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, ain't simcha el b'yayin. Not just, eat meat, wine, it's all what makes you happy. So asks the Beis Yosef. So Marshal in Yam Shel Shlomo, in the second parak of Maseches Beitza, says that when the Gemara says, Akshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, ain't simcha el b'yayin, it does not mean to be mima'et basar. The ikar of Simchas Yom Tov is still the su'uda, and the ikar simcha that you get from the Suda is still Basar. It's just that the Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, the Iker Simcha was with Basar Karbanos, and even if you didn't have any wine, even if you drank water to get with it, the Basar Karbanos were so valuable, it gave a person such Simcha that alone was enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Nowadays, the Basar is not the same because it's not Basar Karbanos, and therefore the Basar has to be in conjunction with wine in order to give a person that sense of Simcha. That's how the Yam Shel Shlomo understands the Rambam, that one should have both meat and wine to compensate for the fact that our meat doesn't give us the same simcha that he used to give when we had a Beis HaMikdash. In the Kapos Tamarim on Sukkah Daf Mem Beis, he explains the Rambam a little differently, that sometimes the simcha is with basar. That's when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Sometimes simcha is b'yayin. That's bizman hazeh. And that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is not saying you should eat meat and drink wine. No, he's saying eat meat when you're living at a time in history where that makes sense, and drink wine when you're living in a time in history where that makes sense. But not that there's ever a time where that they're both supposed to be done. Now, the idea that the women are chayiv in the mitzvah of simcha is a very relevant halacha. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah quotes Machlokes Abaye and Rabbi Zeh gezeira whether the chi of simcha of a woman is her own chi of simcha or baila misamcha. It's not her mitzvah, it's her husband's mitzvah to be misameach her. The Gemara in Kiddush Olam Dalar and Beis quotes Abaye Shita that it's not her mitzvah, it's the husband's mitzvah to be misameach her. But the Gemara later on Daf Lamed Hey quotes that women are chayavos in simcha. So the Rambam writes that the simcha that we talk about in Yom Tov is to bring carbon shlamim, and nashim are chayavos b'mitzvah zu. So the Ravid says, no, the women are not chayiv in the carbon, they're chayiv in that their husband should be misameach her. So the Kesem Mishnah explains, what does the Ravid mean to be masig over here? That since, according to Abaye, she has no chayiv of simcha, it's her husband's chayiv to be misameach her, the Rambam should have explained that. The Rambam should have said, it's not her personal mitzvah, it's the husband's mitzvah. This chaps a huge nafkamina la halacha, if a woman is chayiv herself in simcha or not. Rabbi Kiveger, in the very first tshuva, in tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger, it's unusual. Rabbi Kiveger was brilliant. When you give an example of a genius, we say, you don't have to be Rabbi Kiveger. Of all the people in Jewish history, Rabbi Kiveger is always the one that we use. The very first tshuva in tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger is, I forgot Yalav Yavel, do I have to repeat benching? I mean, that's the first tshuva in Rabbi Kiveger. A woman forgot Yalav Yavel, does she have to repeat benching? So he has a very simple tshuva, and then he has Hashmata, where he adds an additional chiddush. But Rabbi Kiveger is mechadesh that even if you say that that there's a chiv simcha for women, they're not chayiv b'achilas pas, because the chiv of achilas pas is not midin simcha, that's midin kavod, and kavod and simcha are two separate things. So one could be mekayim simcha by basar and yayin and big day tzavonim, and women are still potter from the mitzvah of kavod, because kavod yom tov is mitzvah shasman grama, and therefore he says if a woman forgets yalav yavo in benching on yom tov, she does not have to repeat benching because she has no mitzvah to wash. She has no requirement to wash, so she wouldn't have to repeat benching unless it's the night of the Seder. Night of the Seder, she has to wash because women are chayiv in achilas matzah. Kol sheyesh b'al toch chacham is yesh b'kom echol matzah. Women are chayiv in achilas matzah. So the first shaylin, Rabbi Kiveger, someone said, I remember by my grandfather was a bit tamal chacham, and one of the women forgot yalav yavon benching, and he said that she should repeat benching. But now I see in Shulchan Aruch it says not that way, that she doesn't have to repeat benching. So Rabbi Kiveger says, you're misremembering. obviously, grandfather's tamal chacham. She didn't have to repeat benching unless it was the night of the Seder, right? That's what he had. Maybe you're thinking of this the Seder night. In his Soros Shuva, in Shuva's Soros Shuva, Chelek Aleph, he says that the halacha is tzarech iyun. Because it could be that women were makabel su'udas yom tov as a chova, and therefore she would have to go back and bench. And he brings rayas to this idea, that maybe they would. Now, the idea that how are we misameach women, nashim b'roilem, so we said, it depends where they live, what type of begadim to buy them. But it sounds like special begadim is an inyan in Yom Tov. Now we know a person is supposed to wear big day Shabbos, right? So there's this an inyan of special begadim when it comes to Yom Tov. So the Yam Shel Shlomo brings a raya from here that big day Yom Tov are supposed to be nicer than big day Shabbos. Meaning when you buy your new suit, you buy it for Yom Tov. When you buy new clothing, you buy it for Yom Tov. And then you have nice clothing, your nicer clothing should be for Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch, we say the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, that big day Yom Tov are supposed to be nicer than big day Shabbos, and the Mishmur explains because in Yom Tov there's a chiv of simcha as opposed to on Shabbos where there's no chiv of simcha. So based on that, some of the Achronim are troubled with the lashon of the Ramah. The Ramah in Taf Ayin Aleph writes that there's a mitzvah to bathe and shave on Erev Yom Tov v'lil vosh and to get dressed l'kavod Yom Tov b'begadim yafim kimo b'Shabbos. To wear nice clothing, kimo b'Shabbos, say the Achronim. No, Yom Tov should be nicer clothing than Shabbos, not kimo b'Shabbos. So the Chida in Birkei Yosef writes, what the Ramah means to say is that you should bathe and shave and get dressed in special clothing. How nice, just like on Shabbos. How nice the clothing you have to be? Nicer than Shabbos. But he's saying all these activities in preparation, that's what we're equating Yom Tov with Shabbos. In the Kaf HaChaim, he says, in the name of the Sefer Avodas HaGefen, that what the Ramah means to say is that you have to get dressed early, just like you get dressed before Shabbos, you should get dressed for Yantiv before Yantiv. Magen Avraham writes that a person should be mechabed cholamoid also, b'maychel, b'mishta, b'ksus, and like any other Yantiv. And he says that the Maharil used to wear his special Shabbos clothing on cholamoid. So the Prima Gadim says, why only the special Shabbos clothing? Yantiv requires nicer clothing. Shouldn't he wear nicer clothing than Shabbos? Shabbos clothing on Yom Tov. So in the Mishnah Yaakov, he suggests that maybe there's a difference between Chol HaMoed and Yom Tov, because Shulchan Aruch writes that you have to be Mechabed Yom Tov and be Ma'aneg Yom Tov like Shabbos. So you see that there's two dinim on Yom Tov. There's din of Kavod Va'oneg and the din of Simcha. So on Chol HaMoed, there's a din of Simcha, but there's not a din of Kavod Va'oneg. On Shabbos, there's Kavod Va'oneg and not Simcha. So maybe the reason that Yom Tov clothing have to be nicer is because Yom Tov has Tzvei Dinim. It has Kavod Va'oneg and Simcha. Maybe Chol HaMoed would be the equivalent of Shabbos, and that explains the Minhag of the Ma'aril, because on Shabbos you have Kavod Va'oneg without Simcha, and on Chol HaMoed you have Simcha without Kavod Va'oneg. So maybe on that level, the types of clothing should parallel each other between Shabbos and Chol HaMoed. So says Gemara Vayta now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, you want to measure what is the size of the kos you need for a revius yayin. A lot of times people want to make sure that they have a revius for the dal kosos, but they don't want it to be too much bigger than a revius, because they also want to be able to maintain some level of control. They're going to be drinking four of them. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kasta demur yasa dahava b'tzibori hi avas kamin luga demikdasha, that if you want to find the exact size of a lug that they had in the Mikdash, there's a kli that people who would sell murias, fish oils, they used to sell it in a certain standard sized kli. That size kli is a log. And what's a revius? A revius is a revius halog. So if you have that standard sized kli, you now know that four of those is that four revius equals one of those. Uba misharon revius shal pesach, and that's how you figure out what's a revius for dal kosos and pesach. Amrav Yochanan tamnas. So Kadmaisa Davis Bitaveria, the old Tomen Mida that they used to have in Taveria, Haviyasera Salda, is larger than the Tomen Mida that we use nowadays by exactly Riva, by exactly a Revius, Uba Mishar and Revius Shal Pesach. And if you want to figure out the Revius for Pesach, that's how you figure it out. Fill up this Tomen that they used to have, pour out into the old Tomen, pour it into the new Tomen, and whatever's left is Midas Revius, is exactly the measurement of a revius, because the difference between the two happens to be exactly a revius. Amar Rav Chisda, revius shel Torah, etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, berom etzba'ayim, v'chati etzba v'chomesh etzba. If you want to measure a kli that's exactly the size of a revius, get like a square shot glass, right, not rounded, and go etzba'ayim by etzba'ayim, two etzba'os by two etzba'os, with a height of 2.7 etzba'os. And whatever liquid fills that, that's exactly a revius. How do I know that that's exactly a revius? So it involved doing some math. Kiddetanya, the Braisa tells us as follows: Verachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro, that a person is able to immerse his entire body in mei mikvah. Shaloye davar chotzeit bein b'saro l'mayim. We darshan from there. This is not relevant to our sugya, and it's not clear whether we should have this girsa over here because it's of its irrelevance. That a person is not allowed to have a chatzitza when they go to the mikvah. There shouldn't be anything that interposes between their body and the mikvah. B'mayim b'mei mikvah. B'mayim, we darshan, means that you have to immerse in a mikvah. As kol b'saro, mayim shekol gufo olabahen. And how large is a mikvah? Large enough to fit a person's entire body. V'kamahein, and how much water do you need to fit a person's entire body? Amma al amma birom shalosh amos. If you have a box that's one amma by one amma at a height of three amos, shiracham shir me mikvah arbaim sa'a. That's 40 sa'a. So if you do the math, if one amma by one amma at a height of three amos is 40 sa'a, then two etzbos by two etzbos at a height of 2.7 etzbos is a revius haluk. Okay, how we get there? That's a whole equation. But that's the math works out. If you do the geometry on it, that it's going to be exactly revius haluk. Why is it at a height of three amos? Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Barom, v'afal gav dekomas adam shalosh amos below arosh. When we say that a person is three amos tall, it means three amos shoulder height is a person's height, without counting his head. But people have heads, so how's a person supposed to fit in the mikvah if the water is only berom shalosh amos? So he says l'chein matzuch b'kuchen arba amos b'shvil arosh, and that's why in crypts when they bury a person, it's got to be four amos because they got to fit the person's head in the burial plot also. Va'ovi adapin b'mikvah sagi b'shalosh amos d'kshatovel olin amayim l'mala u'mayik shakli gavoh mishalosh amos u'mlok. He says it must be that the mikvah itself, the body of the mikvah itself, is at least four amos high, but they only fill it to the three amos level. level. And when the person goes in, the water displacement of the mass of his body will cause the water level to rise, and that's how the water will go over his head. That's that must be, says Tosos, because a person is really more than 3 amas tall. A person, we have machlokas, how big an ama is, right? If an ama is 24 inches, a person, the average person, is not more than 3 amas tall. If an ama is 18 inches, the average person is way more than 3 amas tall. So whatever an ama is, it's a machlokas of how tall a person is. So it's hard to know. But that's what Tosos suggests, that a person is only 3 amas tall to his shoulder. That would explain why at the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra, when we talk about Hezek Re'iyah, that you're not allowed to, that one neighbor can force the other to pay for a wall between their two properties up until 4 amos high. Zoning, by the way, they would not require that. Remy would only require like a 6-foot fence or something like that. But up until 4 amos high, you can force the neighbor to pay. Why up until 4 amos? So he won't be able to see. Well, wait a second. If a person's only 3 amos high, why does it need to be an amma above his head not to be able to see? He's not going to be able to see anyway, even if it's just 3 amos high. So says to us, no, 3 amos to the shoulder. That's why you need a 4 amma wall. However, the Ramban disagrees. Ramban in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Amud Beis, writes that a person with his head is 3 amos high. A person is not more than 3 amos tall. And that's what Tosfos writes in Masechus Erevin as well. So there is this machlokas. We showed him how tall a person is. I don't think the machlokas is not how tall, but it's how big an amma is. Whether a person is assumed to be 3 amos or a person is assumed to be only to shoulder height is 3 amos. Okay, so how says the Gemara, once we have a mikvah, you're going to tell me that a kosher mikvah is 1 amma by 1 amma by a height of 3 amos. Amar Avashi, Amar Li Ravin Bar Chinna, Shulchan Shel Mikdash, the shulchan that they used to put the lechem apanim on in the base of Mikdash, Shel Prakim Hava. It must have been made of a bunch of different pieces that could easily be taken apart, disassembled and reassembled. Because if it was one solid piece that was really strongly connected to each other, what would happen if it ever became tameh? How would they ever put it into the mikveh? Because if it's 1 amma wide, they would never be able to stick it into a mikveh that itself is only 1 amma wide. So you can't put a kli that's an amma into a mikveh that's only an amma, because there's no wiggle room. There's no way for it to get in there. So it must be that the size of the mikveh is larger than whatever you're putting into it. So it must be that the shulchan could be pulled apart into different pieces, and they were tovel each piece separately. The reason that we're bringing the raya from the shulchan, the achronim point out, and not from other kelim, is because other kelim just bring them into a mikveh that's wider. Why do you have to bring them to the mikveh in the Beis HaMikdash? But by the Shulchan, the Pasuk says, Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid, so you can only be matpil it when there's no Lechem HaPanim on it. So in that those few moments that you have in between taking off last week's bread and putting on this week's bread, that's the only chance to be matpil it. Because the halacha is, the Gemara Menachos tells us, that even though there's a daya that they would use the new Lechem HaPanim to push off last week's Lechem HaPanim, so there's never even like a millisecond where the shulchan is empty, but the Gemara Menachos says that even if they were misalik the old bread in the morning and they were misadir the new bread in the evening, that's still a fulfillment of tamid. So it could be that there was that time, but since the Chum say you're not allowed to be matvil kelim on Shabbos, the Gemara Beit says you're not allowed to be tovel kelim on Shabbos, so they were only allowed to do it in the Mikdash because ain't shvus b'Mikdash. It's nisud rabbanon. It's mechzi ketikun mana. It looks like you're being misakein when you bring something to the mikveh on Shabbos. So generally, you're not allowed to bring something to the mikveh on Shabbos. So they couldn't do it anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So they had to tovel it only in the Beis HaMikdash, but the only time they could tovel it was Shabbos. So that was the unique shulchan problem. Any other kli they could bring outside and be toveled somewhere else, because it didn't have to be done dafka on Shabbos. So that's why we dafka emphasize that it's the shulchan that they had this issue with, and therefore the shulchan must have been made of different pieces. So says the Gemara, it's not a good raya. It could be that they didn't have to take apart the shulchan. It was one big piece. My kushya, dilma, biyam shas shlomo. The mikvah wasn't the only place where you could tovel things in the base of Mikdash. Shlomo HaMelech, if you learn Divrei Yavim, it describes, he made this gigantic mikvah that was much larger, that was Eser Amos al Eser Amos Barom Chamesh Amos, and he put it on 12 Nechoshes cattle that were holding it, that were holding this giant basin that the Pesukim described. So Tosfos points out that it must be that these copper cattle that were holding the giant basin must have had a hole somewhere, a pipe that ran through them that connected the water to a mayan, because if it didn't connect the water to a mayan, then it's mayim she'uvim, and the whole thing would be possible. So it has to be that there was some sort of connection to water that would make it a kosher mikvah. But bottom line is, the Gemara is saying, okay, so they'll use the Yam Shas Shlomo of Matbile. The Yam Shas Shlomo was 150 times the size of a bare minimum mikvah. So a bare minimum mikvah, ain't a chinami, they couldn't fit the shulchan in, but they had a much larger mikvah available to them in the Yam Shas Shlomo. Okay, below Yivchus Lome Arba, we then said that you're not allowed to have less than four kosos, and therefore, when providing for an ani, you have to make sure that you provide him with at least dalit kosos. So the Gemara says, wait a second, dalit kosos? That's going to be a violation of zugos. The Mishmaros Kahuna says, wait a second, zugos means you're not allowed to have things in even numbers. You shouldn't have things in pairs. So we're going to ask about dalit kosos. What are the dalit kosos? Kiddush, Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Birch Samazon, Hallel. Okay, so on a regular night, you don't have Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you don't have Hallel. You know what you're still left with? Kiddush and Birch Samazon. You have Zugos every night. So why are we only asking about Zugos on the night of the Seder? So it's not four, it's two every other night. That's also a violation of Zugos. So the Achronim suggests that you have to assume that Kiddush and Birch Samazon are understood to be two separate takanos that are not mitzdaref to each other. Whereas Dalit Kosos is part of one takana. That's what we learned. The Dalit Lashonos of Geula, that there's dafka, this inyan of four, right? That may happen afkamin in the two shitos that Rashi quoted, whether the Dalit Kosos are connected the three times it says Kosh Shel Paro plus the one of Birch Samazon, in which case it doesn't even enter the equation of Zugos. Whereas if it's connected the Dalit Lashonos of Geula, so you see it's one theme that runs through all four Kosos, and that's what makes it Zugos. So I ask the Gemara, Veichim Naskin Rabbanim Idi Dasvel De Sakana, how could the Rabbanim be misakin something that's going to bring a person to sakana? And don't tell me that, okay, just drink a fifth cup, because it's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, leave chasilo me'arba kosos. And if you have an ani, and he's going to be in danger if he only drinks four kosos, then we should be required to provide him with five kosos. So how could the Rabban be misaking such a thing? Va'atanya lo yachal adam trey, a person should not eat two of anything. V'lo yishta trey, nor drink two of anything. V'lo yikanach trey, nor clean himself in the Beis HaKisei twice, v'lo yasa tzrach of trey, nor to be mishamish mitaso twice. I mean, the point is that we're not supposed to do things in sets of two, that any time there's a pirud of hisachtus, that's always considered to be dangerous, and two represents that the koach of shnios. That's what all the achronim point out over here, and the koach of shnios is very dangerous. That's why in Yom Sheni the Marsha writes, it doesn't say kitov on Yom Sheni. Yom Shehuch Balabo kitov is Yom Shlishi, because Yom Sheni there couldn't be a kitov, because that's shnios. In general, whenever there's shnios, where it makes us very nervous. So the Gemara has three answers. Answer number one, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, Lel Shimurim, Lel, Am Shumar Oba, Minam Azikin, that the night of the Seder is referred to as a Lel Shimurim, so it's a night of protection, and therefore, even though in a chinami, normally Zugos is something that makes us nervous, not on the night of the Seder, that which would normally be a concern for Sakana is not so on the night of the Seder. Answer number two, Rava Amar, Kosh Shel Bracha, Mitztarif L'Tova, Ve'ino Mitztarif L'Ra'a, that the Kos of Birch Samazon, that's what we assume, Kosh Shel Bracha means not Kiddush, because Kosh Shel Kiddush is not Daraisa, Kosh Shel Kiddush is only Rabbanan. It means the kos of Birch Samazon is only mitzarif l'tova, but not mitzarif l'ra. Ravina Amar arba kasi tekrin Rabban derecherus kol chad v'chad mitzvah babi nafshehu. No, the fact that we have four is not because there's a takana to have dalit kosos. The fact that we have four is that there happened to be four times during the Seder where it's appropriate to have a koshel bracha, but they're not really connected to each other. It's just by coincidence that it happens to be four. Now, what about this idea that lel shimurim, that it's a lel amishumur baman amazikin? Does this have any nafkamina la'alacha? So Achronim suggests up to five nafkamina la'alacha in the fact that it's a lel shimurim. The Ramah writes in Or Chaim Siman Taf Pei that some say that you shouldn't say shvoch hamascha before that you should say shvoch hamascha before lolanu, and to open up the door to remember that it's a lel shimurim. And that's why the Beis Halevi writes you open up the door dafka when you pour the fourth kos and not at the beginning of the seder to be merames that we're not choshish for zugos in the kos revi because it's a lel shimurim. So we show that we're opening up the door. We're not nervous about bandits or anyone who's going to break in. This is a lel shimurim. Here we have zugos right here. We're opening up the door and we feel totally safe. That's one inyan of of Lel Shimurim that comes out La'alacha. The Ramah further writes that a person should not say Kriya Shema Lamita other than just the Parsha of Shema, but not all of the other things that are there for protective purposes on the night of the Seder. You don't need any special protective things on the night of the Seder because it is a Lel Shimurim. And the Agadah Mibeis Levi, Agadah Shlesim Beis Levi, says that the Briska Rav would read all three Parshios, but in Chak Yaakov, in the side of Shulchan Aruch, he says, don't read the regular Kriya Shema Lamita. You have to demonstrate the Emuna that it's a Lel Shimurim. And that's what Mishnah Berurah says. You should say Amapil, but the Kaf HaChaim says that the Arizal did not say Amapil because Amapil has a protective element to it. There's one of the Acharim, the Uriyon Tzli Sa'i, is quoted here in the Masifta, in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He says that if you leave food underneath your bed on Lel Pesach and you slept that way, so normally we assume that there's a Ruach Ra, and he says, not on Lel Shimurim. Lel Shimurim, there's nothing wrong with that food. And in fact, he says that Beitza Klufa, if you leave an unpeeled egg overnight on Pesach, you don't have to worry about it. And he says he wonders, he heard that the Maral Diskin had a Shaila on the night of the Seder where someone had a Beitza Klufa that got mixed in with other Beitzim. And he wanted to know, can they eat those eggs on the night of the Seder? Many have a minhag to eat an egg on the night of the Seder. So Maral Diskin said, normally we'd say that that a davar shi'ish l'matirin cannot become batel, and he said that beitzim are mutter, even though beitzim shenol de biyamtov. No, it was a beitzim shenol de biyamtov. They were all beitzim klufos, and one was a beitzim shenol de biyamtov. They were peeled eggs. One was a beitzim shenol de biyamtov. So he says beitzim shenol de biyamtov normally can't become batel because it's davar shi'ish l'matirin. But the Maral Diskin said this will never be mutter because it's going to be a beitzim klufa that was left overnight tomorrow, and then it's going to be aser mitam that. So it's not a davar shi'ish l'matirin. So this sefer says he doesn't understand. It is going to be mutter tomorrow because being left overnight in the night of the Seder, it's a Lel Shimurim, and therefore that shouldn't be a problem. Okay, we'll have to stop there. There are other inyanim related to Lel Shimurim, but we'll pick up here on the top of the Kufi Ramadal of tomorrow, Bez Hashem.